Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Doug!
Remember how David Bory missed the show last week and we said
sure
we just have him on like on the next one?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out he's busy.
Ah.
So we'll try to get him on the next one.
All right.
Today,
we'll see.
Filling in. This guy is Mr. Fill-In because the other day I did a Doug Loves Movies taping and he jumped in there when someone fell out last minute. And now, since we couldn't get David Bory, decided to ask this gentleman to fill in here as well. He's Mark Ellis.
All right. Mr. Fillin.
Very funny comic. He enjoys sports and movies. I dare say almost equally, maybe sports a little more. Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to him. Doesn't have a crazy name really though.
Yeah, well, after Bory with the silent G,
right?
It feels like, well, anything would be plain.
We still haven't even talked to him yet.
I know.
All right, let's go to goddamn work. Hello, Mark Ellis. How are you?
Oh, it is such a pleasure to be here with you, Doug. And I guess, Doug, I'm doing great. Life is good. No complaints.
Have you recovered from your crushing defeat on Doug Loves Movies?
You know, I really take those personally. I don't ever fully recover from any of them. I thought Padgett Brewster was my friend that I had just met, and she ripped my heart out live on stage. And so, no, I'm not okay. That's, I guess, the one thing not going well in my life would be my repeated ass kickings at the hands of Doug Loves Movies.
Let me tell you, the behind the scenes situation yesterday, and then a little in front of the scenes as well, it came up during the podcast, was that actors Matt Walsh and Padgett Brewster were on the panel and both felt very intimidated by the presence of Brandon Collins and Mark Ellis, because both of you have, have movie podcasts. You're sort of known for being movie fans. And so there was just a lot of chatter about how, especially from Padgett, about how she was just out of her league and how she was going to lose. And that's just how that sort of thing heads. That's where it leads.
It's, a lot of head games in the green room.
Exactly.
When we recorded.
Exactly.
And look, I mean, I know what Padgett and Matt were trying to do. They're trying to say, well, look, we're too busy actually acting in stuff to study other people who have acted in stuff. Well, Mark and Brandon are the movie nerds. But here's the thing. I don't really do movie trivia anymore. I don't host that show. That show is now a bygone era of my life. And so me suiting back up to play any sort of movie trivia, it's a little like Michael Jordan suiting up when he was on the Wizards, where he's going to have a couple good nights, but then there's going to be a couple nights where you're like, I remember who that guy used to be, and I don't think he's that guy anymore. That's the phase of my career I'm at.
Yeah, you definitely were not that guy anymore yesterday.
I was struggling to remember like one Goldie Hawn movie.
Who is this guy? Yeah, we were playing the game Last Person Standing, where you just have to name movies somebody was in, and I was shocking how quickly you started blanking on the films of Goldie Hawn.
Well, yeah, Bird on a Wire.
Yeah, see, look at Doug can do it. He's terrible.
Yeah, no, Doug and I need to join forces. I think next time I'm on Doug Loves Movies, I think I should, Doug and I should just,
oh, that'd
like,
be good. We should do
transform
teams for sure
into one.
Oh,
yeah,
or just teams. I like the idea of teams, you know, because some people, they're a treat to have on the show, but they're terrible at the games, you know. So if you pair them up with someone else who's terrible, you know, terrible plus terrible equals occasional lucky accident.
Terrible plus terrible equals passable. It's like, yeah, when you're at the carnival and you win, you can either win a small prize, or if you win like eight small prizes, you can trade them all in for one medium prize. Doug, Millard, and I together would be the medium prize.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll take it.
It's definitely worth it. It's worth doing that. You know, like suckers walk away with one or two small prizes. It's, you know. You got to go. You got to double up on those things. Get large. So you're not hosting the Schmodown movie trivia competitions anymore. They don't exist. I'm sure some people go back and enjoy them. They must live somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, the community is still thriving, which is the great thing. Like, they still love Christian Harloff and myself. When I go and do stand-up on the road, I still have people come up all the time, and sometimes they're still wearing their Movie Trivia Schmodown shirts. And that was the real tough thing about it. It wasn't saying goodbye to the show after 9 seasons. It was just that I hate letting people down. And so I felt like all of these competitors and crew that are now in the hundreds, I feel like I have to let them down gently. So like, I can't just tell them, hey guys, the show is ending for good. I have to tell them like, hey guys, so the Schmodown, it's going to go to a farm where it can run around and play with other movie trivia shows that are no longer on the air, and it's going to be happy and it's having a great time. You just can't visit it. That's kind of how I had to explain it, as opposed to just the flushing the goldfish down the toilet kind of response.
Right. Well, or you could go with, we're just tapering it back to nothing. We're just tapering it to not at all existing. And we'll see how that goes.
I mean, I could just blame it on the celebrity talent we had the last couple seasons. You know, it's like, look, guys, we got too big for our britches. Now we got Doug Benson and Chris Jericho and Kevin Smith calling me.
Oh,
and it's just too much to handle. It's too much star power.
Yeah, no, you got to get out when the star power gets dangerous like that. Okay, so, but you're still a cinephile of sorts. You still enjoy film and have, you know, movies that you like that you revisit.
Very often.
Yes. I don't know. That wasn't really a question, I guess. But let me ask you this. Last year, you were, you know, one of the proud promoters of Top Gun Maverick.
Yes, sir.
So my question is, you know, here we are. It's, you know, June. It's past the Maverick opening date of last year. So in 2023, do you have a film that you champion as much?
I actually do. One that I saw most recently, if I'm borrowing a segment from Doug Loves Movies. So there's one I'm really looking forward to that I might get to see tonight when this episode is released. I might get to see tonight Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Ooh.
Not sure if that's going to happen yet or not, because it's one of those super, super early screenings. And I host at Rotten Tomatoes, but sometimes they can't wedge all of the hosts that they have there into these super exclusive screenings. So I'm crossing my fingers for that. But in the meantime, I'm still high off of a movie that, like, I wasn't super jacked to see it, only because I'm so tired of comic book movies in general. I think I've hit that wall a little bit with the live action ones. But as soon as Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse started, I was in a theater. I was so locked in and I was loving everything going into my eyeballs and my eardrums. It was phenomenal. Just start to finish, an incredible motion picture.
What format did you see it in?
I didn't see it in IMAX. They had IMAX screenings, but my schedule wouldn't allow an IMAX. But I would highly recommend anybody who hasn't seen it yet, or if you want to see it again, check it out in IMAX. I saw it in standard and it was still just, the animation is just so mind-blowingly awesome, and the story's great. It's got a lot of feels, a lot of action, and I ended up caring about the characters despite my distaste for the live action comic book movies I've seen recently, that I feel like cheapen what the multiverse could be. It feels like the live action, both Marvel and DC, they want to use the multiverse really as an excuse to just wedge more famous people into their movies. But this animated Spider-Man is just like, no, you really feel the importance of different types of spider people all coming together to help solve something.
I mean, I'm sold. I was already pretty pumped about it. And kind of also savoring it a little bit. I've been doing this thing called lazy procrastination. I just don't get the theatrical releases. I can't get too fired up for them for like opening weekend because I really don't want to. It's so easy to wait a little longer and see movies like with everybody else preoccupied with other things, you know, like I finally saw just the other day, I went and saw like a early morning screening of Super Mario Brothers, and no one else was in the theater. It was delightful.
Oh,
that's great.
Yeah. Cause it's just, you know, because everyone was at, even the kids, because that's, you know, that's the risk you take when you go to like a 10:30 a.m. matinee, is that there's going to be children there. But especially if it's family themed, but Little Mermaid and Spider-Verse were both, you know, newer than Super Mario Brothers. So that's what I'm doing now, I think, is just tracking them. And when it gets down to, it'll be an audience of nobody or maybe just a few people.
Yeah, I'm the same
way. I love it.
I'm a huge fan of seeing movies by myself. I think that I've seen so many movies in a theater by myself that now it feels weird if I'm actually with people. I don't like because you just can't trust people once they get into a movie theater. Like part of it is just me. Like I'm just so specific in how I like to see a movie. The phone doesn't come
out.
Okay. I don't care if grandma needs her meds. I don't care what's going on outside the theater. The phone is not coming out. I'm getting my popcorn, which is going to stay in my lap. I'm not sharing it. I want my soda. And I like sitting all the way on the aisle so I can get the hell out of there.
Same, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's for bathroom breaks. That's for emergencies. That's for just exiting the theater before anybody else. Like, I like being on the life is all about options and mobility, and I like being mobile in a movie theater.
No, the aisle seats are great, and I love any theater that has – kind of, it tends to happen with the theaters where they have stadium seating. There tends to be like sort of a hallway you walk down before you kind of are actually in the theater. And those hallways are great for like just going and quickly texting or checking something and then going back to your seat and basically only missing the visual. You're like going to hear the movie the whole time, you know, but you're also not going to bother anybody with the light on your phone or, you know, if it's making noises, but I wouldn't have a conversation. But the sitting on the aisle is just really, it's become my go-to, like with concerts and theater, anything where you get to pick your seats. I'm all about finding an aisle seat because it just improves your lives in so many ways. The only way it sucks is if, you know, it's a long row and you have to stand up a lot to let people in and out of their seats.
I'll take that malady all day long. And with the smallest violin is playing, because this first world problem that I have sometimes is that I'm lucky enough to get invited to like premieres of movies, but you can't control the seats. And sometimes the premieres are in theaters where the seats are either they're like smaller or they're cramming a bunch of people in. And it's always exciting to be there, but sometimes you're just stuck in the middle. Like when I got to go to the premiere of Avatar, The Way of Water, which is a very enjoyable thrill ride for 3 hours. But the problem is it's 3 hours and my bladder does not last 3 hours. So somehow, some way, I was able to hold it in for 3 hours. And I've never been more impressed at a physical feat that my body has accomplished. in my entire life. I was right in the middle, and it was so hard to like climb out. And so my trick is, and everybody listening, you can adopt this for yourself. My trick is like, I pee before I get my snacks, because nobody wants to get your popcorn and then remember you got to pee. And like, you don't want to be the guy holding the popcorn in the stall. So you pee before the snacks, you get your snacks, you get in there, you get settled. And then like right when Nicole Kidman is walking into the movie theater, that's when you run out and you get another pee out. Even if it doesn't feel like you have to pee, then you should be good.
Well, that's the other thing I do is I just go stand and look at my phone during the trailers. I just stand like in the back where, again, the phone doesn't distract anybody. But
are you boys trailer like fans, or do you not like seeing the trailer at all?
I don't like seeing them at all, because they just – if it's a movie I'm excited to see. If it's a movie I'm completely unaware of, maybe, and definitely a movie that I'm not going to see, I'll watch the shit out of that trailer. But, you know, because I don't care about the spoilery nature of it. But even the most innocent of things they'll put in a trailer sometimes, if it's from like the second or final, you know, if it's anything other than the first reel of the movie, I'm like going to have like it in my head and wait for it while watching the movie.
Yeah, I'm starting to get back to that point, because like I don't work on YouTube nearly as much as I used to when we were doing like Schmo Down and Schmoes No. So sometimes there will be like a period where I didn't see any movie trailer drop in a couple weeks or maybe even a month. And so I actually genuinely get surprised by, oh, that movie's coming out. I had no idea. I love those trailers, and that's the experience you just cannot replicate. From like when I was a kid, I still remember being in the theater. I think we saw the movie The Shadow with Alec Baldwin in like 93, I want to say. Maybe it was like late summer 93, something like that, or 94. And a trailer for Time Cop hit, and I had no idea that there was a Van Damme movie called Time Cop coming out. The trailer starts, and the trailer starts out like old-timey 1920s Universal logo when they first started, you know, and then like the first scene of the trailer is Van Damme going back in time to the 1920s to like stop a guy who's trying to take advantage of the stock market crash, and it just locks you in, and it's Van Damme, and he's kicking ass, and he does the splits on the table, and I'm like, what the hell did I just see? I missed that experience.
Or Van Damme movies in general.
Oh God! I still have in my house at my mom's place in Virginia. I still have a banner for Hard Target that I asked the movie theater about every day after I saw the movie. I kept like, I was that annoying. I ended up working at that movie theater probably because they felt sorry for me a few years later. But like every day, I'd ask the manager, "Hey, are you guys taking the banner down? Because I'll take it." And I still have the banner. It might actually still be up on my wall in my bedroom at home, unless mom took it down. But I don't think she would disgrace my legacy like that.
Well, I hate to be a time cop, but we have to move on. We have lots of
like double impact, two dogs.
About
double impact,
double D. This show is all about names and how they affect us, but I've got two questions that are like sort of warm-up questions that get asked of every guest on the show lately. The first one is, and I don't think I know the answer. Sometimes I have kind of a guess, but I don't think I know the answer to this one, because I don't think you have any that are sticking out and noticeable, but how many tats do you have?
Do you and Doug want to take a guess?
Oh, that's fun. Based on how, you know, never having met Mark or seen him in a V-neck white T-shirt.
So you can't see my neck tat.
That's what I saw you in, the other day. But that being said, what do you think, Doug? Do you think he's a tattoo guy or no?
I'll go 3.
Okay. See, I think Mark has the personality of a tattoo guy. He's dedicated to some sports things that he'd probably want emblazoned in his skin. But at the same time, like I said, we're not talking any kind of sleeves or any shit like that, because I don't remember seeing any tattoos on your arms, neck, or face.
I'm thinking it's one of Chance Boudreau from Hard Target, who Van Damme portrayed. and then one of Wilford Brimley from that film on the horse, and then one that's just Goldie Hawn with a slash through it.
Wow, such involved tattoos for someone who has them hidden under their clothes. Because I was thinking also, if he does have two tattoos, they're all of us smaller in nature. So, all right, so I'm just gonna go zero, and that's a nice contrast to Doug's guess of three. We're probably both wrong. How many tattoos do you have?
Well, I am a frequent wearer of tank tops. Like when I'm walking the dog or hanging out, I enjoy being as naked as possible. I'll be honest with you guys. I walk around my house like a UFC fighter about to enter the cage, where it's just pretty much shorts and nothing else. I have one tattoo.
Oh, see?
And it is on my right shoulder. And it is, in fact, Wilford Brimley from Hard Target. It would be
it's
cool.
Wilford Brimley if he was in Hard Target.
Now that you bring it up, though, Doug, I might get like the Arrow, maybe like the Arrow logo. Because here's the thing. Like, I remember I got the tattoo. It's my my college mascot, Wake Forest University, the Demon Deacons. So
yeah, see, I knew you were Demon Deacon.
And it's almost fully because of sports. I also have a lot of family that went to Wake Forest, so it's kind of like our unofficial Ellis family crest, if you will. So I got it. But the real reason I got it is because my all-time favorite basketball player, Randolph Childress, who's an all-time college basketball legend, he played at Wake in the mid-90s when I was, like, you know, coming up in middle and high school. And he had the same Demon Deacon tattoo. And so I got it. Now, I waited until I was 36 years old to get it. So it took me a little while to get up the nerve to go do it. But once you're getting a tattoo, this is my experience anyway, as I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, it's on my shoulder, so it doesn't hurt that bad. And you start thinking like all the other cool tattoos you could get on your body. Like for a minute there, I was going to get on my left calf, the V, and then on my right calf, the H, like the Van Halen. And I thought that'd be awesome. And then I got out of the tattoo parlor and like calmed down, and I'm like, yeah, that's probably the last tattoo I get is the Demon.
Yeah, that's a lot to commit to. Is it something that's, you know, works on both legs?
Yeah, I mean, the VH would have looked awesome. I could have gotten the newer Fire logo on my other shoulder, but I think I'm good. I'm also a huge Washington football team fan, now the Commanders, so oof. I'm glad that I never got the old logo on my shoulder, because that would have been tough to remove and replace with a pig, who is now our mascot, with Major Tutty. That would have been tough.
Wait, so how did they come up with the Commanders?
I think they were just going for the safest name possible, which I don't have a huge issue with. Like, I would have been fine if they just kept it Washington football team. But right? knowing the owner, which is so nice to say, the owner at the time, Dan Snyder, also known as the worst human in the history of sports, he, I think, also wanted to change it because you can gouge the fans again. Like, they changed it from Redskins to Washington football team, and then there's a bunch of merch sales because everybody wants to buy the new stuff. And then they changed it to Washington Commanders 2 years later because, again, we're suckers, and now we want to buy that new stuff. So we have a new ownership group coming in, and there's all these fans that want them to either go back to Skins, which they're not going to do, or go back to football team. So there might be – I might have to spend, like, $300 more on new updated merch.
I think they didn't get the patent to Commanders either, so I think they do have to change it again. Sounds like it.
No, some enterprising businessman in Virginia, when the writing started like to be on the wall that everybody has like either dirt or whatever they can force Dan Snyder to sell, everybody started thinking like, oh, is he going to change the team name? And so this guy in Virginia bought literally like 100 patents of anything that they might want to change the name to. I think he bought like Commanders and Red Wolves and Red Hogs and Red Hawks and Red Tails and all these names. And so that guy's like, no, I'm not selling unless you meet my price. And I don't think Washington is going to do business. Now, when the new ownership group comes in, maybe they negotiate, or maybe they change the name again. Look, I just want to be in the playoffs, guys. That's all I care about.
We're sorry to have to announce that the name we are forced to go with is the Commandeerers. It's close enough, so some stuff can be changed easily.
Yeah, the Commodores, right? We
oh
we
yeah,
got a
Commodores. I
built
like
in
that.
halftime show
We
with the
got Lionel
Commodores.
Richie on the horn. He's down. He's down to, you know, we knew it was him for sure because when he answered the phone, he said, "Hello, pets. Let's talk pets."
Oh, please.
Have you ever gotten to name any?
Have I? That's a great question. I had a say in the two cats that we had growing up. So when I came into the family, we already had a young, spry, lovely, amazing German Shepherd named Augie, who was basically our security and our babysitter for the three kids growing up. She's a legend in the Ellis family. Best dog, you know, you could ever, smartest dog you'd ever want to meet. And Augie was there before my time. Then we got two cats to go with Augie. And I think that I had a say in naming them, which makes sense because their names were Luke and Leia, which is pertaining to a franchise far, far away. And then my sister rescued a cat that she named Fred. I didn't have a say in that. And now I have a dog, Molly, that I co-parent with Molly's mom. Molly's mom originally got Molly before I was in the picture. And so I did not get to name Molly, but I've come to love her quite dearly as I'm looking at her gently sleeping in her bed.
I actually had a dog named Molly.
How do you spell it? Did you go IE or Y?
Y. We named it after a neighbor. And then we were like, it was Chloe and Molly were our neighbors. We had two dogs at the time. This is years ago. And we named our two dogs, Chloe and Molly, after these neighbors that we weren't even that close with. And then we brought them by to introduce them. We're like, hey, we named our dogs after you. And they were like, oh, that's fucking weird.
That's weird. And,
right. Whenever the dogs get out, you're standing around. They're in their homes just hearing, Chloe, 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 Chloe.
It's a little frustrating because her name, Molly's name is spelled with an IE. And so every time like I call the vet or like they're like scheduling a checkup for her, I just say it's Molly. And without fail, they're like, we don't have her in the system. And I'm like, you're spelling it the Ringwald way. You're spelling it the drug way. It's IE. And then they figure it out.
You know, this is the first time I've ever really thought about spelling it the drug way, The drug really is just also Molly.
According to my research, yes. Now, I've never done Molly. I did have it offered to me in Vegas a couple weeks ago. I politely declined, thought about it, but shot it down pretty quick.
Cause why?
I'm just not a drug user. It took me forever just to get on the weed train. And I didn't start doing the pot. You could tell I'm new because I call it the pot. I didn't start doing it until it was like, it's such a weird kind of moment for somebody like me. I'm about to turn 43. And so when you were in high school, you were taught that pot was this evil gateway drug. And now I was at my gym and my personal trainer is the one who recommended that I start taking weed to help me sleep. So you go from it being this scary thing that you should never, ever ingest to this is the best thing for you, for your health and long, you know, your longevity, your well-being going forward.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the whole Reefer Madness thing is just taking us forever to shake all the misconceptions. And then, of course, there's, you know, the lucky few who, when they do get high, it is truly a bad experience for them, you know. So, like, there's still, unfortunately, anecdotal evidence of it being bad for some people. But,
Molly,
you know,
the dog is on weed right now. She's got a CBD tincture and it's got a little bit of THC in there too. So me and the dog just get high and watch Top Gun Maverick most nights.
I was just going to ask you about the dog taking a nap at this time. Is that why? Because the dog's on drugs?
It's partially because she's on drugs. She's also a golden girl now. She turned 16.
Oh my
this
goodness.
Past May. And so she loves her sleep. Like she sleeps in now until about 11 or 12 if we got nothing better to do in the morning. Sometimes like if I have a shoot in the morning, I'll have to wake her up and like, you know, to take her pee outside at like 8 a.m. And she's like, what the hell are we doing, dude? And I feel the same way. I look at her, I'm like, I don't want to be here either. I promise. And then she's kind of like solar powered now because she gets out, and when she's in the sun, she like sleeping in the sun in the morning, in the late morning, and then like she kind of charges her body up, and then by nighttime she's like ready to run around and have a great night. So she's kind of like on the comedian timeline where she sleeps late, she's ready to rock at night, doesn't want to go to bed, eats late, and then passes out at like 2 a.m. with her poppy.
Well, that's yeah, that is interesting. It's that you know, dogs just like us, you know, they can get a schedule going. And but especially an older dog, 16 is like that is up there.
Well, it's always frustrating when like you tell anybody that she's 16 because their immediate response without fail is, "Aw, like it's never congratulations for keeping your dog alive this long. That's an achievement." They give you that, "Aw, like is today the day? Like when's the funeral?" And I it's so frustrating. And she's a Beagle Boston Terrier, and they're known, you know, Beagles have like those kind of sad eyes. And a couple of weeks ago, I was walking her in a nice area in Southern California, and these two old ladies who are probably as old as Molly is in dog years, they're walking by, and they just thought she was so cute. But one of these henches, they actually said, "Look at those sad, pathetic eyes." And I'm like, okay, wow. Easy with the adjectives. We'll be putting you in the ground long before we put the dog down.
Yeah, our dog's 15, our current dog, and there are people that will be walking by and see her. And like when they ask, like she gets around fine, but that when it's that same response where they're just like, "Yeah, you need to borrow my shovel," and it's like, "Good Lord, no, she's fine. She can run laps around your 7-year-old dog. Come on, fuck off."
My shovel. It's like people think they're being helpful. Like remember at the start of the pandemic, everybody on Twitter became a doctor. It's amazing how when I take Molly on a walk, everybody else out there instantly becomes a veterinarian. They see her limping and they're like, "Oh, I noticed your dog's limping." Like, I'm supposed to, "Oh, I had no idea. Thank you so much, doc, for showing me what a limp looks like." Like, I know the dog has a little bit of arthritis. She's 16. She's doing great.
Have you seen the video? There's a video I saw of a dog in an impoverished country where the dog pretends to have like a bum leg, you know, like limps, and limps up to like a tourist's car, and the tourist hands the dog some food, and then the dog just runs away with it.
I love it. I saw a video that was going viral of a flying squirrel who faked death.
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
Fucking flying squirrel that keeps looking around like, "Is anybody seeing this?" That was crazy.
It's amazing. The greatest kind of animal trick like that I've ever seen in person was down in Santa Monica. They have the Third Street Promenade, which is like a big shopping center. And it's just like a big sidewalk. And they have a bunch of musicians out there, stuff like that. And there's this guy who just sits out there all day, and he's got a pet monkey. And it kind of like the monkey in Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, Bad Dates. And this monkey will, he's got like a little coin purse. And right. He's got a little hat, and he walks up to Taurus. He just walks right up to Taurus, takes his hat off, puts the hat out. You're supposed to put like a dollar or something in it. And he takes the dollar out of the hat, puts it into his little coin purse, and he walks it back to his owner. And it's just, it's like, what am I going to do with the monkey? Am I going to not give the monkey a dollar? Like, I think he probably has Venmo now. I think the monkey just walks up and shows you a barcode, and you scan it, and boom, you've contributed to, I guess, the monkey and his family.
I, you know, want to go see that monkey now. I don't care if it's $5, because there is just something about a really smart animal taking your money. It's charming.
He's still probably around too. I mean, these monkeys, like they live sneaky long lives. I actually met the monkey who was in, I think, the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie. He's still living, and he chills at this place up in Lancaster, California, called Animal Tracks. It's like a, you know, they help rehab animals that can't be in the wild anymore, or celebrity retirement home. It's sort of like their version of the Villages in Florida, where if you lived a good life and you made your money and you retired, you got your pension, you got your gold watch, they just go to Animal Tracks to kick back and live. And the monkey from Pirates of the Caribbean there, and he was hanging out. He was like crawling on my shoulder and stuff. Nice dude.
Yeah. Then there's those monkeys that go insane. You know, they just get crazy at a certain age and will tear your head off.
There's also the monkeys that rip your face off. So
Yeah.
tread lightly, kids.
Yeah. Don't confuse your monkeys. Know the difference between a capuchin and a other kind. So, on this show, Mark, believe it or not, we ask people, we talk to people about their names one part at a time, and we're going to do that with your name after these messages. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and we're deeply into the show before even getting to what we're here to talk about.
So let's talk about monkeys for too long.
or whatever. It's just the conversation. You ask people about tattoos and pets, you just don't know what you're going to end up talking about.
Yeah, it's a good thing I don't have any more tats. Jeez.
Yeah. No, guess with a lot of tats, we don't even get to their fucking names. So growing up with, let's just start with your first name, Mark. But not, it's not short for, is your actual name Marcus?
My name is not Marcus, despite what every nun when I was going to Catholic school thought. They wanted to call me Marcus. When I was in trouble, they would call me Marcus. Never understood it. And I am just Mark, M-A-R-K, like my father before me.
Right. So how was, aside from this frustration that people would think it's short for something else, overall, do you like the name?
Huge fan of my name. I love it. It's not the most common name, but it's common enough to where you can get around town. Okay. The only frustrating thing with my name is when you're ordering something and people ask if you're at Starbucks and you get I get my iced tea and I say, my name's Mark. And they say, is that with a K or a C? And I'm like, I really don't think it matters. Like just call out the name and all the Marks will get together and we'll figure it out.
Right, but Mark C is going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? there might be some, it might clear it up. In the case of if I was a Mark C, I'd insist on being a Mark C, but a Mark K, you're right, there's no point because the Mark C is already going to be like, what's that? That's not me. What do you think the percentages are on the K to the C? I think it's like 70% Ks.
I'm starting to lose some confidence in the spelling of with the K. I love that my name is spelled with a K. That's why I prefer it. But I think if you go back in history, probably Mark with C happened first because it was short for the Marcus Aurelius of the world.
Right.
And you have Mark with a C is, how like the French, the Romance languages would prefer to have it, or Marco or Marcus or something like that. And so I think Mark, it might have just been like a very Americanized way to spell it, and that happens to be the country where I currently reside. So I will take Mark with a K. I just feel like the K is a better closer than the C.
Yeah.
C, it's nice, but we all know from learning the alphabet, C is really going through an identity crisis. It's not sure if it wants to be an S or if it wants to be a K. And so it vacillates. It doesn't do one thing tremendously. It sort of just does a lot of things mediocre, whereas the K is a great closer for a name, for a word. Like I like rock music. Rock ends with a K. The best swear word, the F word ends with a K, and my name ends with a K. Like Mark Effin Rocks. I love having the K to close out my first name.
Yeah, K is very good comedy letter at the end of something.
it's a harder close than a C. Yeah.
Well, also now you really opened my mind to this thing about people that spell it with a C probably are mostly actual Marcuses, because Marcus with a K looks weird. But also
it does exist now. It does exist, but it's very rare.
Everything exists now. Right? Right? Every name exists, you know. There's a kid out there named, you know, Tri-Tip Tortilla or Tricolor. all right.
That sounds good, actually.
Tri-Tip Tortilla. But also, this Mark O, I didn't even think, looking at your name, I didn't think of Mark O, because Mark O with a K also, while it exists, I'm sure, maybe kind of a Russian thing or something. You also would think that, like, Marco Polo is an example, where the Marco instantly makes it a C. So maybe, you know, maybe all this time he's been Marco Marin or Marcus Marin.
Yeah, I see Marin a lot at the Comedy Store. We haven't talked about the similarities and the differences in our first name, but I will broach the topic with him and see what I can come up with. He feels like a guy who is just Mark, M-A-R-C, but you're right. It just opens doors to a very annoying line of questioning. Like the K just ends the conversation right there. Like if I say Mark with a K, they're like, oh, that's his full name. You say Mark with a C, it's just, you're going to be there for 2 hours explaining the origin.
Yeah. We haven't had him on this show, so I don't know what's going on there. But now also, when somebody is nicknamed or goes by Marky, like good old Marky Mark, that kind of has to be a K mark, because M-A-R-C-Y, that looks really crazy.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like anything. That's just a mess.
I know. Yeah. There's a great radio DJ in Southern California on 95.5 named Marcy Weiser. So that's like M-A-R-C-I. I have a hosting agent I'm friends with named Marky, M-A-R-K-I. But yeah, Marky Mark was probably, Marky Mark is really like the, and I wouldn't even say it was like a negative growing up, but like sometimes people would call you Marky Mark or like, where's the Funky Bunch, that kind of thing. And like,
sure.
You know, that's a lot. I was a chubby kid. So if the worst thing that happens in your school day is somebody calls you Marky Mark, you had a good day, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't a terrible thing to be called, because the guy, you know, let's face it, the guy, you know, looked really good in his underwear. And
yeah, he did.
seemed to be a tough guy. I mean, we didn't know how terrible he was. I mean, you know, but he was a bully and a tough guy.
Yeah, we didn't know that if he was on the 9/11 plane, he would have stopped it, according to him. But yeah. He does spell it with a K, so he's not the one that we're the most proud of, but we welcome all Marks at the meetings.
I don't know why he isn't volunteering to just go be on as many commercial flights as possible and stop that from ever happening again. How much run-in have you had, because he's kind of a older, distinguished actor at this point in his career, but Mark Harmon. Do you ever get anybody in your face about Mark Harmon?
No, I mean, when I was a kid, I saw an ad. I was probably 6 or 7. Saw an ad for a movie called Summer School, and I got so excited. And I like begged my mom, "Can we please go see this movie?" And she's like, "Why do you want to see this movie so bad?" And I was like, "Well, I just saw a commercial for it, and it has Mark Hamill in it, and I thought that it was Luke Skywalker who is in it. Which, by the way, not a bad person to be associated with." So. Mark Harmon, you know, solid Michigan standout in college and then went on to a stellar acting career. But Mark Hamill and I have the connection of not only our beloved first name, but I also, when I went, I was lucky enough to go to the Force Awakens premiere, and I saw Mark Hamill standing there on the red carpet about 15 feet from me, and nobody was talking to him. One of the rare moments that night, nobody was up in his face. And I walked right up to him and I crap you boys not. I extend my hand and I say, hey, Mark. And as before I can say I'm like a big fan, he says to me, hey, you're Mark from Schmoes No. Because he had done he had done a call-in interview on my show like, I don't know, 9 months before that. And he still remembered me. And I was just like in heaven. Like I could have left the premiere right then and just been happy. So I took he let me take a selfie with him. We took a cool picture. I posted it, got a lot of likes. And my local newspaper back east in Virginia, the Daily Press, called me the next day. And they're like, hey, we want to do an article about two Marks on the red carpet at the Force Awakens premiere, because Mark Hamill, when his family was, his dad, I think, was in the Navy, he actually went to the same school that I went to for like a year or two. And so we both came from, we have roots at Walsingham Academy in Williamsburg, Virginia. And so there was like a front page article with the picture that I took about these two Marks, you know, two Marks doing well in Hollywood, one much more than the other one, but still it was two Marks. And so the fact that I was named Mark, I think, helped get that ball rolling on the big headline and splashing me and Mark Hamill on the front page.
Might have also made you more memorable to him.
Yeah. You know, we stick together. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If your partner on the Schmoes No, if Christian went up to him and said, hey, I'm Christian, the Mark Hamill ego might not click in and go, oh yeah, I know you, like, you know what I mean? Because you, I've do, I mean, I know that. Mark's a fairly common name, but it's still like, in the case of Doug's, we've talked about how, you know, when you do meet somebody named Doug, it sort of sticks out, like, you know, it's just like, you kind of remember it just because it's just weird that somebody else has your name. So maybe that's the case with the whole, I mean, also, you're a very memorable person. I'm not trying to take away from your achievement of being remembered by Mark Hamill.
No, I think you hit it on the head. I think 80% of my fame and fortune is based on my name and 20% talent. So the fact that I'm named Mark has taken me a long way. But it's funny you bring up my co-host Christian, because I've never envied having that name. I don't want to introduce myself as Christian.
Right? That's a terrible word to have to start off with. That's your opening salvo, is I'm Christian.
Keep it in church, man.
Yeah. No. That's my name. Oh.
Even worse. Christian does spell his name with a K, though. Christian spells his name Christian with a K. So it's K-R instead of C-H-R. And so maybe that helps differentiate a little bit from the church, a separation of
in
church
print,
and name.
It looks good, but it also feels like now we also don't know which gender this Christian is. Because Chris with a K, because Chris with a K, K-R-I-S, usually implies that it's a girl named Chris.
It does. I think maybe
unless
Chris,
it's Chris Kringle. Chris Kringle's a dude with K-R-I-S.
Yeah, but nobody's going to mess all with right. Santa Claus.
Story is stupid. His whole first and last name are made up at the same time. You know, like they got to go for the alliteration and everything.
Doug, easy. You know he can like see us right now.
He's making his lists. Don't get us fucked off of the list because of association with you and your bad attitude. What other Marks are there? Are there other famous Marks we haven't touched on? There must be Marks in the world of sports that you're excited about having the same name as.
Yeah, I mean, sort of our OG who spells his name correctly with a K would be swimming legend Mark Spitz, who before Michael Phelps came along was like, you know, the greatest swimmer to ever be in the water. Like he was Aquaman until Phelps came along. And if you just start looking at the landscape of Marks in athletics, we're still waiting for like that super like great all-time basketball player. There is a baseball player named Mark Ellis that and it's not me, surprisingly. I never played in the major leagues. If you're watching the movie Moneyball, you can see a couple times the second baseman the back of his jersey is Ellis, because Mark Ellis was one of the players on Billy Beane's Moneyball team. So it's still probably, when you Google Mark Ellis, that's probably the baseball player is the first one to come up. But if you Google Mark Ellis comedian, I think I'm the first.
You're in good shape.
I'm leading the pack there.
Yeah, you're not on the bench there. You're number one. You're number one on the lineup. Trying to use baseball terminology, I'm not good at it.
I'm the leadoff hitter.
Yeah, that's the expression I really wanted to say, but I just in my head was just thinking pole position, which doesn't make any sense. But speaking of not making sense, I just realized that when spoken slowly, why did I realize this? Well, I just wrote down LSD.
Yep, that was a nickname in my senior year. My bio lab partner, Jacqueline, sweetheart of a gal, started calling me LSD. And so it was that name kind of stuck for the majority of my senior year. It never really left the AP bio lab, but.
Yeah, well, because you're not really a drug guy. So it sounds like it's more of just a reference to just the scientific side of LSD.
Yeah, and Marky Mark had kind of already transitioned into acting by that point, so he wasn't going by Marky Mark anymore. So people needed a new way to refer to me, and LSD seemed to be the easiest one. So no issues with calling me LSD at all.
That's so funny that I just randomly wrote that down. I also wrote down because, as far as last names go, you have a last name in common with somebody I've podcasted with quite a bit named Jason Ellis.
Yes, Jason Ellis. The Ellises are becoming more popular. I don't know that I was aware of a lot of other Ellises growing up, but now you just start to see that name creep up. But it's more like, obviously, we have our own island. We have Ellis Island. And then,
sure.
You know,
great place come in to visit, I hear.
It's you're welcome anytime. We will not change your name again. We're just there for selfies now. We don't do the name changing anymore. So I was working in San Francisco not too long ago, and there's an Ellis Street up there. So a lot of times I'll see like an Ellis Avenue, Ellis Way, that kind of thing. So
yeah,
you know, when you start having streets named after one of us, it really is a win for all of us.
I mean, the Ellis, both Mark and Ellis, you know, they're together. You're an individual, but both names are, you know, commonly being used by a lot of people, a lot of important people. What's the middle name situation over there? What's your middle name?
It was a name that I wasn't really thrilled about when I was a little kid, but I came to...
You let us judge it.
Okay. All right. It's Edward.
Edward, Edmund,
Edgar,
the whole ED plus more, it does pigeonhole you kind of as a, I don't know, like it just seems like kind of a, maybe a snooty name.
Yeah. Sort of like high, you know, society.
Kind of distinguished, but, you know, also kind of silly.
Kind of nerdy, you know, I mean, honestly, it felt a little nerdy, which everybody loves the nerds now and nerds are running the world. But back in my day, it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be now. And so having the middle name Edward, didn't love saying it. But then I started to realize the one out that you have with Edward is that can be shortened to Eddie, and everybody loves an Eddie. Like, an Eddie is just like your best friend. And like, oh, there's Eddie. We always like him. And it also happens to be the name of the greatest guitar player that ever lived. So I am a huge Van Halen fan. And the fact that I get to have Edward's first name as my middle name, I'm pretty stoked about that. My parents, in retrospect, I will regrade them and say they get an A+.
You're a huge fan of Van Halen, but not get a tattoo on your calves level fan.
No, I mean, my left shoulder is just looking at me like, come on, dude, let's do something. So we're not out of the woods yet with just having one tattoo for the rest of my life.
Well, you can't have them tattoo your initials, your three initials on your back, because then it just gonna look like you're a narcissist who they misspelled me. What do you want this tattoo to be? Me. Okay. But those are fun initials to have. Nothing really to mess around with there.
You can end it with a J. You can call me Meej if you want, because I am a junior. So Mark Edward Ellis Jr.
Meech.
Me,
I like that.
Me the
I
second.
I like that a lot. I mean, are you looking for nicknames this late in life?
I you know, I've never had one. Again, I had the LSD thing like for a hot second, but I think I always wanted like a nickname, you know, like Scratch or something like that. It's just like something that like would imply I had a semblance of a personality in high school. But now I've settled into my Markness very, very well. And I think that I'll stick with Mark. I don't know that a nickname would be a big boon to my career at this point. I don't even know what I'd be called.
All right. Well, I kind of like Scratch. I kind of like Mark, and then in quotes, Scratch. I mean, it really sounds, it's very sporting, right? Because you scratch a horse from a horse race.
Yeah, you scratch someone from the lineup right before that you play, and that is pretty much the sums up my athletic career.
Yeah, and baseball players scratch their balls. So, like, scratch is a really important.
Tom Hanks.
Important. It covers a lot of ground.
A league of their own. But Mark Scratch Ellis sounds a lot like less hoity-toity than Mark Edward Ellis does. Like Mark Edward Ellis could be like a Duke of something in England, but Mark Scratch Ellis, you just want to hang out with that guy who probably does have LSD on him.
Yeah, no, Scratch is, I don't think it's possible for a person to be nicknamed Scratch and not be great. it just seems like a fun
Lee Perry.
Is a fun person to know, you know? And then, you know, and then Ellis is just so, as a last name, you know, it's easy breezy. It's not too hard to spell. I mean, you probably get the single L or the double S sometimes.
I get the double S a lot. I think I was with a different phone provider than I am now. And for 10 years, I was Mark Ellis, like two S's there at the end. And I'm like, that's what you're going with when you hear the name Ellis. You're just going to lean into the two S's. That's a very bold play by that particular cell phone provider who may or may not have been a kiosk at the mall. But Ellis was some kids in third grade thought that my first name was Ellis because I was on a baseball team and you got like your jersey, you know, you got your jersey and it was so exciting because you could put your name on the back of your jersey like the professionals do. But all these other idiots in third grade who weren't big sports fans, they put their first name. Everybody else on the goddamn Blue Jays in Columbia, Maryland, put their first name on the back of their jersey. And I'm like, okay, cute. I'm a real player here. I'm putting the last name on the back of my jersey. So everybody started calling me Ellis. And if actually most of my friends today, I think refer to me as Ellis over Mark.
I mean, Ellis I do like that as a first name because it's definitely out there, but not overplayed.
Well, if I can have a little wizard behind the curtain to Doug Loves Movies, when you were telling your producer that this person got scratched from the lineup and we're plugging in Mark Ellis, did you say we're getting Ellis or did you say we're getting Mark or do you just like go full name for me?
I think I said Mark Ellis because there's, you know, because there's Marks and Ellis's that I know. So I can't just say. Can't be clear about who I'm Ellis's. Talking about. It's like Jeopardy where they need the, you know, more information. I did an anagram of your name. I didn't know your middle name, of course, so it's just your first name and your last name, Mark Ellis. And the anagram I came up with is Lamer Silk.
Yes. Yeah. Lamer. Yeah. Lamer Silk. Okay. There was a period in seventh grade when I was like, it'd be cool to write like a suspense novel about a killer named Cram Silly. And then at the end, you find out that it's just my name spelled backwards.
I like it. Cram with a K.
Like when I was in seventh grade, I was a little Agatha Christie, like no detective would ever solve this. Nobody would ever crack this code. It's just my name backwards.
I love it. All right. Well, let's... you did a great job today. Let's give you your moment to promote yourself and things that are happening. People can come check you out.
There's many Marks. There's many Ellis's. There's only one Mark Ellis who this July is releasing his next comedy hour called Alive and Well. And that's going to be dropping everywhere in mid July. So keep an eye open for Alive and Well. It's produced by All Things Comedy. Great, great. Just a comedy empire started by Bill Burr and Al Madrigal, and they've been great to me on this mission. So it's finally getting to the masses, and I can't wait for y'all to see it. I'm really happy with it.
Right on.
Yeah, and I'll be in New York, and I got dates in New York and San Diego coming up. So you can just go to markellis.live for tickets and all that info.
All right, we don't have time for all that other stuff. Sorry, but Doug Mallard, what do you got to plug?
I'll be at Cap City Comedy Club in the Red Room this Sunday at 6 and 8:30, opening for my pal Michael Palisak. And Hard Target is streaming on Tubi right now for anyone that wants to check out that sweet Bam Bam movie.
Go check out Hard Target, everybody.
It's so good.
Doug plugs. I'm going to be doing Doug Loves Movies in Seattle, San Diego, and L.A. in July. For all the deets, go to douglovesmovies.com. And thanks again to Mark Ellis. We end every episode by saying what is essentially going to be the title of the episode. And since you're such a sports guy, and we do like to do puns involving the name Doug, here's what I came up with. As always, hanging in the dugout.